Good morning to you this morning who have joined us for our wonderful Bible school lesson, Sunday school lesson for the radio. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate always you joining us. There'll be no purpose for us to come Sunday after Sunday if it weren't for you and for those that are going to listen to us. We're still don't know the Lord, maybe those that have served him for years and years and years, but we're so glad to welcome you today. We're studying a series that What God Is. Somebody said they had a t-shirt they were going to get made for their people that says God is.
Amen.
And just leave it blank and then let whoever asks you what does that mean, explain it. Well, we're going to explain this morning that God is our peace. God is our peace. The lesson comes from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, and 22 through 24. Or if you have a Sunday school quarterly from Bible Studies for Life, from Lifeway, then you could use that. They don't have an outline, and we do not use it word for word. We try to teach what God has placed upon our heart. But I suspect we better, first of all, begin with prayer, and then we'll tell you who we are. Brother Bob, tell us, you take us to the Lord in prayer, and then tell us who you are.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time being able to share with those who are in the radio listening audience. God, we ask now that this lesson would resonate in their hearts and prick their minds and their spirit. God, that give them a zeal to want to do your will. God, then anoint us afresh and give us insight and direction so that we can be able to expound upon your word and bring clarity so that we can help somebody that is listening. Then, God, we just ask now for a blessing upon this radio station, a blessing upon the PB Pickens Baptist Association for allowing us to be able to come to these listeners. And then we ask for a special blessing upon each and every one of us and each and every one of you. And we'll be so careful to give God the praise and glory for all the things that he allows us to do and has accomplished through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And you are?
I'm Bob Little, and pastor down at the Galilee Baptist Church in Panola, Alabama. We also have a mission church that we help oversee in Tishby, Alabama, New Fellowship. And we also, from time to time, along with the Pickens Baptist Association, does ministry out at the Federal Correction Center out there in Aliceville. And I want to put a plug in right quick because we're in the spring and a lot of people are going to get ready for spring cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like if they would donate some of the things that they want to the Baptist thrift store.
Yeah.
There in Stanza along Highway 17 would be great, and it would help further the ministry. This is a part of what we do here. It's supported by what goes on at the thrift store so that we can be able to bring these lessons to you and other mission and other witnessing ministries through the Pickens Baptist Association. So in your spring cleaning, you got some things that you can't wear anymore, you just don't use, take them on up to the Baptist thrift store.
Hey, thank you, Bob, because that's very important, Opinion.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moore's Bridge Baptist Church in North Tuscaloosa County, and thankful to be a part of this program.
And I'm Herschel Owen. I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Gordo, Alabama. And we are welcoming all of you, I hope, from Mississippi, maybe Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana,
amen.
Georgia, where amen. Are you from? Amen. Florida. We wish we were nationwide, but we are not. But we are having a good time teaching God's word, and we know God's word will not return void.
Amen.
It'll accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. So you join us today as we talk about God is our peace. We've already studied under this lesson, God is our provider. God is our healer. God is our banner. And as I've already mentioned today, God is our peace. Hmm. Now, you know, we misuse the word peace almost as much as we misuse the word love.
Amen.
You know, we love chocolate ice cream and we love carrots and we love steak and we love chicken. And really, we don't. We like those things, yeah. But we use the word love, and we wear it out and abuse it. But the same thing is peace. Back in my generation, the hippie generation, the word peace was used as a greeting.
Yeah.
And I've seen old Volkswagens that were painted with all the different colors and a big peace circle on that.
Wow.
In fact, there's one over in Reform right now at the Volkswagen, at the golf cart place. So, peace, what is peace? Peace, what is peace? Do we have it? It's something that everybody wants.
Right.
I'm running into people all the time that just say, "Preacher, I don't have any peace."
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can. It's available. God is our peace. That ought to be a clue to you. We're going to start with the condition of the times that we're studying in the book of Judges. And Brother Pinion is going to be so kind as to read those first verses.
In Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, "And there came an angel of the Lord and said unto the oak which was Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites."
Okay, number one, Brother Bob, the people were a divided people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about where they are at this time in their life. And what are their circumstances?
They've turned from God. And any time you turn from God, you're going to be divided. You're going to have things that is going to defeat you because you have moved away from the one who has been able to keep and protect you. And so now the enemy comes in and handle you the way that the enemy would like to handle you. And so now this is the circumstance here now with the children of Israel, that the Midianites and everything had been taking their food from them, invading them, and everybody who wanted to piffle them or take stuff from them was able to do it because they had stopped serving the true and living God.
So they're captive people at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And they, we'll see just a second that they were a very defeated people.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob said the problem was they were a defiled people.
Mm-hmm.
They had turned from God, mm-hmm. and they had adopted the ways of the world. Brother Pinion, does that sound familiar to us today?
Well, I think it is amply evident to anyone that wants to examine it, Kershaw, mm-hmm. that a divided people, and we stand divided as a nation now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about political issues.
No.
Where you're talking 49-49 Democrats as opposed to Republicans. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a divided people. Some of them in one religious corner, others in another religious corner, and still many, many more corners out there.
Mm-hmm.
And any time the devil can do that, then he's got us about where he wants us. Because none of us are going to be as effective,
no.
Amen.
And as fulfilled as we would be if we were united in what the Word of God says and what God in heaven demands of us and from us if we'd just be obedient to Him.
So
I think we would be a great deal more successful.
Amen. Amen.
Not only does this division mean that they were separated in their thinking, but they were a diverted people also. They had lost sight of the real important thing, just like you said that we have today.
Yeah.
They had lost sight of that, and so every man in the Bible says, did that which was right in his own eyes.
Uh-huh.
It's just what pleases me and what I want, and they were a very divided, and they were diverted from the cause. What do you think about, Bob, this angel of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Who you reckon that was that came in verse 11?
Well, that was pre-incarnated of Jesus Christ, you know, before he was came in the flesh. And so we always hear him talk about the angel of the Lord. So it was Jesus actually before he became in human flesh. And so he's now coming to Gideon to validate and also inform him of who God had already made him, you know. And so oftentimes we think that even in our misery, God has missed us.
Yeah.
But God don't make a mistake. No. And he is, if we go with him, we become mighty and done the things that God has plan for us. He don't want us to deal with live in this misery. Don't want us to be one of those that back away from the truth. We should be bold enough to tell the truth and stand for what's right. And so now the angel of the Lord come to validate him and let him know, don't worry about your circumstances. Don't worry about who you say you connected to, because God has fearfully and wonderfully made you to be what he has ordained you to be.
I was interested, Bob, while back, to watch the funeral service of Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, the whole family, girls and boys, mm-hmm. Had some remarks to make about Billy and his ministry and his message.
Gotcha. Amen.
And I was absolutely ecstatic over what Franklin said.
Mm-hmm.
In his remarks about his dad and his dad's faithfulness to the Word of God.
Amen.
And Franklin didn't mince any words either.
Right.
See, because he was in a mixed audience.
Right.
He had all kinds of denominations
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of religious persuasions.
Right.
And some were no religious persuasions.
That's right. It. Right. Some were none at all.
Mm-hmm.
But now he did not minimize whatsoever the simple truth of the gospel.
Amen.
That it is in the blood of Christ, that it is in the love of God and the mercy of God
mm-hmm.
through the blood of Christ, that man is saved and he is set apart
Amen.
For service to the people as well as to God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So if we get the picture here, here's Joash and his son Gideon,
mm-hmm.
and they're out there hiding because the Midianites will take their stuff away from them.
Uh-huh.
If they can catch
right.
away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that must be a miserable situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Miserable situation. Yeah. And the angel of the Lord came
mm-hmm.
and sat under the oak tree. Now, they weren't in a big, fine church with a church building with wonderful artistic design.
Mm-hmm.
They were sitting under an oak tree.
Uh-huh.
The angel of the Lord was. So what that says to me is that the Lord comes to us where we are.
Amen. Amen. He'll meet you where you are.
He comes. He'll meet us there.
Right. Amen.
And so if today your circumstances are that you're addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography, or you are in trouble because you've been dishonest and defrauded some people, or whatever else it is, our Lord will meet you there. He will not compromise.
Right.
He will not say, that's all right, but he will forgive
mm-hmm.
if we repent, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But here is the Son of God in pre-incarnate form of an angel meeting with old terrified Joash and his son Gideon
uh-huh.
out there in the open where they're hiding, trying to thresh a little wheat there.
Have some meat, yeah.
And get by
mm-hmm.
out by the wine press and hidden over there like a bunch of rats that were trying to hide and get away. Now, they've come a long way from where God intended them to be
mm-hmm.
and where once they were.
Amen.
What is the cause of their fall here, Brother Pinion, and the circumstance that they're in?
Well, I'm not real sure. Her.
Well, they turn from God.
Yeah, well, any time a man or a woman turns from the Lord, they're ready for a fall then, mm-hmm. and that there's going to be a fall in Sioux because of their abandoning of the right and righteousness that is found in the Son of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So today a lot of people in America and in the states that I mentioned a while ago, that hopefully some folks are listening to us, have come down a whole lot, have fallen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
America has lost her glory,
mm-hmm.
Has lost the glory that once she had because of our rejection of God, our turning from God, our seeking pleasures and our seeking wisdom and our seeking worship in some other place other than in God.
Mm-hmm.
Than in God. Strange to me that after the Twin Towers fell in New York, our churches just mushroomed.
Filled up.
Yeah, people came in.
Amen. Amen.
And but a month later, they de-mushroomed,
mm-hmm.
and out they went.
Amen.
They deflated, and the folks were gone.
Amen.
And when the next crisis came, here they were again and gone again. That's just a human trait, a human nature. And it divides us from each other, but it also divides us from God,
Amen.
And separates us from
yeah.
God.
I heard a few days ago about a school district, not in our area, but somewhere else. They are now wanting to put up one of the Ten Commandments. They don't want the full ten. They just want one.
Which one?
And that's thou shalt not kill. Because of all of the shootings that's going on.
Is that right?
Yeah, they only want that. They want that one commandment to be translated throughout the whole school district. But they don't want the rest of them. All they want to do is indoctrinate that one, thou shalt not kill. And that's how it is sometimes. We want to pick the things
mm-hmm.
that we want to abide by
mm-hmm.
or highlight when it come down to doing right by God.
Right.
Instead of saying, let us do all of them, you know. We had people who fought for the Ten Commandments to be on display, and they got public mockery
yeah.
behind that. But now we see the repercussions
mm-hmm.
of mm-hmm. rejecting God's mirror. The Ten Commandments is a mirror that we can see, and it brings us conscious, you know, make us conscious about what God would have us to do. But once we move that out, that mirror says they're like a man look in the mirror, and whatever he got in his face, he soon forgets because he forgot, not no longer look in the mirror. So the Ten Commandments is a mirror for the believers to look in. No man can keep them, but it's a mirror to remind us of how messed up we are. And the only way we can get it is get through it because Jesus came to fulfill, to help us be able to fulfill those commandments.
Well, in the New Testament teaching that the Ten Commandments are a schoolmaster.
Right. Uh-huh.
To lead us
Amen. Mm-hmm.
in the right direction.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And that direction is to the shed blood of the Son of God.
Amen.
And the sacrifice that he made on the cross. Because, see, all these years
mm-hmm.
up until the coming of Christ, it had been through a sacrificial system
mm-hmm.
and the keeping of the law that you made
uh-huh.
mention to Bob. And when we realize that we cannot keep the law
Amen.
Altogether, we mm-hmm. cannot,
yeah.
and recognize that God had a more perfect plan.
Amen, amen.
And that more perfect plan is and was the sacrifice of his Son for our sin and our soul.
Amen.
And the saving grace that is available to us.
Amen.
And when we acknowledge that and come to that point in our lives,
mm-hmm.
then I think we've come to the right point. And we know then that God is up to the business of saving and cleansing, and you and I are the blessed recipients
Amen.
Of that kind of saving and cleansing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But
Amen.
I'm afraid what happened was what we see here in this passage of the conditions of the time. The angel of the Lord, verse 12, says, appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
Mm-hmm.
And Gideon said, if the Lord's with us, why are we going through these hard times?
Yeah, yeah.
What that tells me is that most people, what they want from God is an easy street,
mm-hmm.
and a bed of roses. Because if things get hard, and if we do begin to have to experience the results and the penalty for our sins, then we don't think God's so good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We want him to always, under all circumstances, whether we repent, because they didn't think they'd done anything wrong.
Yeah. And that's the problem right there, even with our society. A lot of times with this prosperity gospel,
mm-hmm.
Name it and claim it,
yeah.
stab it and grab it, you know, we say that I don't have to live a certain standard. I don't have to be accountable to a certain standard. I don't have to be accountable to God. All I need to do is tell God what I want.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to give it to me as a sugar daddy,
mm-hmm.
Without any repercussions, without any qualifications, or without any type of accountability on my behalf. And even though God has made us to be victorious, walk and he's given us an opportunity to have a victorious life through his son Jesus, because Jesus is the victor. And once we are in him, then we are victorious also. So here it is, we live a defeated life because we whine and cry because we don't get what we want. But we won't line up and be obedient to what God's will is.
So they were a divided people, a diverted people, a defiled people, a defeated people.
Mm-hmm.
But look at that last verse, 13. They were a defiant people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, they're not ready to admit any of the responsibilities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, and Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord's with us, then you tell me why has all this come to us?
Mm-hmm.
We ain't done anything to bring this on us. We hadn't done anything wrong. Where's all these miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And they were saying without so many words, and we didn't deserve a bit of it.
Right. Yeah.
We didn't deserve this. We're looking for a miracle. We're looking for God to do a hocus pocus,
mm-hmm.
and pull the rabbit out of the hat.
Right.
And pull us out. But God don't have a right to punish us if he's with us. He don't have a right to expect us to live holy lives and to honor him with our life. And so here they are, in spite of all the other things they were a defiant people. They still are shaking their fist,
mm-hmm.
in the face of God.
Amen. And that seemed like a clarion call to our society.
Yep.
We're shaking the fist in the face of
And
everybody.
I saw that actually literally happen with an uncle of mine during a thunderstorm before ever I even knew about God.
Mm.
A big old thunderstorm came, and he walked up to the porch where we were sitting, and drops of rain began to fall, big as half a dollar's out in the dusty soil. If you've ever ever smelled rain,
mm-hmm.
and after it began to fall on dust,
fresh soil.
I remember how it did. And then lightning began to, we lived in a little clearing, and kind of out in the woods, and lightning began to strike some of the trees around our house. And he stepped out kind of into those beginning raindrops, lifted his fist up to heaven and said, "If you're God, I dare you to strike me dead." I didn't know nothing about God, but I got away from him. Because I figured in a moment he's going to turn into a to a crackling, mm-hmm. or something. But the rain came, the lightning passed, he stepped upon the porch, untouched, it seems. 6 months later, they called us from the People's Hospital in Jasper, Alabama, and said, "If you want to see him, you better come." And when we got there, that man whose fist looked like a ham when he lifted it up to God, Now is a shriveled up, dried up. He's just skin stretched over bone. And I know one of those old hospital beds where they used to pull the sides up, metal beds, and he didn't know what he was doing or saying, but he reached and got the edge of the bed, those rails, and began to rattle them and holler out, "Oh, God, no repentance, no prayer, really, but just he has met his Waterloo." Mm. He was defiant, but God has the last word.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And pretty soon he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he was burning in hell because he had defied the living God. And these people here, these Israelite people,
mm-hmm.
who now are in the shape they're in because of their defiled life, and they are a divided people and a defeated people,
mm-hmm.
they still are defiant.
Right, yeah.
And I don't sense that America has been broken. I don't sense that we've been humbled at all.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that we still, with all of our modern inventions and all of the modern things we have, we raise our nuclear weapons up to God and say, "God, we can take care of ourselves.
Mm.
We don't need you." We take our medicine that God has blessed us with the knowledge and with the doctors to develop and to prescribe. We shake it in the face of God and say, "We don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need you. We can do it on our own."
Lord, have mercy. Mm-hmm.
But there's no peace. There's no peace.
Amen.
There's no peace. Mm-hmm. We've talked all over this, but we can't say it enough. Many people out there listening may have drug addictions, alcohol addictions. Maybe know that your life is defiled. You realize that you don't really have a right to call on God except for His mercy. But let's tell them again, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell them again the kind of a God we have and what God will do for them if they repent.
Amen. The kind of God we have that has great love for us. For the Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave and sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on the Son, amen, should not perish but have everlasting life. What a mighty God to be able to have a love for people who are defiant,
mm-hmm.
people who are defeated, and people who need to be delivered. If they turn back to God and repent and says, "Me, O Lord, I'm standing in the need."
Yeah.
He will meet them just like He met Gideon and Joash under the oak tree. He'll meet them wherever they're at.
Right.
And deliver them and save them from the hands of the enemy. And so what we have to do is confess our faults. First of all, believe that He is who He say He is.
Right.
Confess our faults. He said if we confess our faults, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Is that all fault, Bob?
All. A-L-L. Amen. All. Amen. Every one of them. We cleansed by His blood and covered by His blood. And then get us in a church that's teaching about the true and living God. Have our prayer life and be in fellowship. And then follow what Jesus said, and He'll give us a home eternally. And that's what we have to do.
And that's the only way we're going to have any peace.
Amen. Amen. And He'll give you peace. Yeah.
It makes no difference how much we pretend. With all our new gadgets and our new cars and our new homes, our good jobs, picturesque churches, church buildings, but deep down inside, we know who we are. We know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I bought me a new suit and went out and worked on my lawnmower and got greasy, but all I did was just kind of take a cloth and wipe my hands off and put my new suit on. I'm still filthy underneath that
Amen.
New suit.
Amen.
I'm still filthy, and I know I'm filthy.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm filthy. I helped my son the other day put brake pads on his car. And when I got through, I was very careful, I thought, to not get dirty, because I didn't have on my old work clothes. But when I got home, I looked and I had grease all over the front of my pants.
Mm.
So the point of it is, if you play with sin,
mm-hmm. it'll get all over you.
It'll get you.
Yeah.
And the more you rub it, the worse it gets.
Amen.
And have you ever had a leak in your roof?
Oh, yeah.
And get you an old gallon of bull and go up there and try your best. Now, I'm going up there. I mean, I've done this more than once. And I don't claim to be a smart man. Because if I had, I wouldn't have done it. But get me a can of bull and go up there. And I ain't going to get none of this on me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
And start with a trowel, dipping some of that stuff out of that gallon can. And trying to smear it on.
And you are going to get it on you.
I guarantee you, you're going to get it on you somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
And you're going to get it on your hands and your clothes
mm-hmm.
and nearly everywhere else. But with every effort you put forth, you can't fail. Mm. I mean, there ain't no way you can keep from getting some of it.
And it gets worse and worse and worse the more you... If you take your paper towel and go and wipe it off.
That calls.
No, it just spreads it.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse.
That's like some of that syrup on Tuesday morning.
That's right.
Down here at the association office.
Yes, sir.
Hey, some of them, now, you can get it, and it's good to eat, but it ain't good to wear.
Right.
Oh, it is. you won't get it off lightly either. But my luck is, you get up there, and a roofing leak, you say, well, right here, where the sheetrock got stained, so right above that.
Mm-mm.
But things will work. It may have been 15 feet over you, and it ran down one of those rafters and fell there.
Yeah.
So I put me some stuff and get it all over me, and I ain't helped a thing.
Mm-hmm. Not a thing.
I hadn't found the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is when we try, when we deal with sin and play with sin and take it lightly, it just gets all over.
Right.
But secondly, when we try to fix it, We don't find the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus can find the spot.
Amen.
And that's what he does.
When he finds it, he can fix it.
Amen.
He can fix it.
Amen.
One of our good brethren that's around the table sang at a church this past Sunday about how the Lord could fix things for us and supply for us. And
amen.
I believe that was it out of John 6?
Yeah.
John 6.
Testimony of the fragments.
Yeah. And, but he brought into that, and it sounds impossible that God can fix old Humpty Dumpty that sat on the wall.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Egg that fell and busted all to pieces.
Yeah.
Only God can fix it.
Amen.
You can't put an egg back together. I challenge one of you to take you some scotch tape and scrape your egg up and try to get it back together.
No work.
Only God can do it. Amen. And you can't fix your sin problem.
Amen.
You cannot do it. If you are defeated and defiled and sin has gotten a hold of your life through drugs or alcohol or sinful living, and you say, I'm going to fix it, I'm going to find it and fix it, you can't do it. Only God can make black sin as white as snow.
Amen.
Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet,
I'll
make them white as snow.
Amen.
Though they be red like crimson, they'll be like wool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You started to say something.
Yeah, like I did, Ursula. I've been dealing with addictions
mm-hmm.
yeah.
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I am. I'm addicted to good food.
Yeah,
but you're not addicted to drugs.
You know.
Yeah.
That's called gluttony. But I'm talking about hard addictions to drugs and drink and things of that nature. And every 2 weeks, I go into a halfway house on Monday mornings and share some truths with the guys there. Most of the time, it's from 12 to 18 men that have made shambles out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal is to get them off of their drug
right.
and or their drink and on to the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God.
All right.
And my comment to them every week practically is anytime you take something out of your life that you're accustomed to, that be drug or drink or whatever else it is, then you got to put something back in order to take its place, or it's going to be like the cleansing of the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the widow lost her coin, there's going to be more demons come in and take over than you were able to rid yourself of.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't put Christ, which is the foundation for the faith and the faithfulness that we have in Him and the commitment we make to Him, then they are doomed to failure. There's no way that they can rid themselves of the bad habit of drugs or drink without replacing that with something of greater and stronger value. And that is the love of God, and that is the mercy of God, and that is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, coming from the farm, and a very poor kind of farm too, I've got some association with Jackson grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said we were going to clean up we had one field that was eat up with Johnson grass, and we're going to clean it up. But you can't clean it up.
Mm.
There's going to be some sprig left. If I don't care if you do it with a magnifying glass, there's going to be some left. Guess what happens next spring when it won't ground turn warm? Here comes the Johnson grass. Right.
Now, the only thing you can do with Johnson grass is fence it up and turn a bunch of hogs in it.
Yeah, they'll do
it. If you'll turn some hogs in on it, they'll root up every one of them. And they'll do nut grass the same way.
Uh-huh.
They will. Yeah. But so if you don't have some outside help on this, you're never going to get rid of sin.
No.
You can't root it up by yourself.
Right.
It just finds a place to hide until tomorrow, and then comes back with a fury.
Mm.
And then you're faced with it again, and there's no peace. Because I'll be honest with you, I can try to fool Brandon and tell him how wonderful everything is for me and how you know, my life, how good it is. I just won the lottery, and I just won over at Mississippi at some of those
establishments,
gambling places, and how everything's just going great with me. But deep inside, I know it ain't good.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't good. I don't have any peace. I don't have any peace. No. Those things, if I had this room full of money and didn't have Jesus and didn't have forgiveness of sins, I wouldn't have anything.
Amen.
And zero peace.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you folks that are listening to us, you may have all of the world's acclaim and all of the world's possessions, but they're not worth anything without peace.
Right.
And that only comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
That only comes from God.
Then we have a recent court issue where a woman won the lottery, $540-something million.
Mm.
And she wanted to keep it private.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't much blame her for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But she had signed an agreement.
Right.
That, and you know, it I know some of them know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But
that lady may be listening to us.
They didn't make it public. And she won the case on that.
Amen.
But now there ain't no way you can keep your sins hidden from God.
God. Amen.
Now it's like I heard about the old boy that his daddy told him to plant peas. And he said, well, how many do I need to plant? He said, plant them until you don't have any left in the bag. So he got tired. He came to a stump hole and he dropped them in there. But guess what happens when the rains came and all of a sudden that stump hole was filled
with
peas? His sins had found him out. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. You can't hide them.
Amen.
You can't. Only God's blood can cover them. That's the only way they can be dealt with.
Amen.
Opinion, we're going to run out of time. This is important.
We're in some good territory.
Amen.
We are. Well, let me just one more thing here. What is the result? Why does it matter about our go ahead and live our life with sin. But then what's waiting at the end of the way with no salvation?
The punishment of God. Mm-hmm. You see, every sin has to be paid for, mm-hmm. one way or the other. And those of us here at the table now have been honest enough with God,
right.
that we don't want to have to pay for our own
sin. No, no, no.
So we've turned our sin and our sin problem over to the Son of God.
Amen.
And said, now, Lord, I can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many listening out there that Bob mentioned a while ago in his testimony and in his directions of us and to us of how to come to Christ and how to know we have Christ, that he is available and he will cleanse us. And it's only through him that we're going to be saved.
Amen.
And it said, Brother Pinion, he will cleanse us of 40% of
all.
Our,
no.
All the word.
All.
What does all mean? It means all.
It means every one of them.
That's right. So that's what, when you stand before God one day, and it may be today, some of you may be meeting God before the sun sets this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Don't meet him without your sins having been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I would not want to be in your shoes if you do. I would not want to be in my shoes either, where I had met him like that before I met him in confession and repentance from my sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible thing, this place called hell. If you want to read about it, go to Luke chapter 16, begin verse 19, and read about the rich man and Lazarus. That's Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And see that place where that rich man lived.
Yeah.
He gives a full description of it, too.
It does. Okay. Well, time is getting away from us. Let's go to the next section that I've called The Call of God to Gideon and the Israelite People Concerning Their Peace.
And it's found in Judges 6, 14 and 16. And it says, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.
Wow. Amen.
The only way we can have peace in our life, Bob,
mm-hmm.
With peace with God. And you can't have any peace if you don't have peace with God.
Amen. Amen.
And you and I can get along, and we do.
Yeah.
We can get along with Brother Brandon and Pinion, and we do. But if we don't get along with God, if we don't have peace with God, there can be no peace.
Amen. And as you look at this path, when you don't have peace with God, you don't have peace with yourself.
No.
Nor anybody else.
And nor anybody else. You're always thinking that you are subpar. You're always thinking that you're deficient. You're always feeling like you're defeated, you know. And it just a continual downward spiral.
That's right.
You don't have any self-esteem about anything. And here it is, we see God validating Gideon again, but he goes on and says, not me, because I'm the least in my father's, mm-hmm. you know, my family is the least, the area I'm from is the least, everything about us is the least, and I'm the least, my people don't really recognize me, and I'm the least in my father's house. How you going to use me, God? You know, I don't have everything that all the rest of the people have. I don't have the political or the popularity or the prestige that other folk have. So how can you use me?
Do you know, Bob, a great lesson there? When God called me to preach the gospel,
you felt the same way.
Yeah.
Amen.
I did.
Me too. Amen.
Yeah, I felt I had nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So how in the world could God call me?
Amen.
Yeah.
How could he do it? And then I thought about when my daughter was, she hurt twice in her life to the point of death. at 5 years old, and then when she was grown. Mm-hmm. And when God came, and with an angel, sent an angel, an actual angel, the mm-hmm. only one I've ever seen in all my life, and spoke to us, 16 of us, so we all heard, so there could be no doubt. And the and one of the thoughts that came to my mind, why would God do this for me? Mm-hmm. Why? I don't deserve this. I'm not worth anything. I can't amount to anything to God.
Man.
But it can only, peace can only come when we are willing to go with what we have. Moses said, I can't go.
Right.
God said, Moses, what's in your hand? He had a rod. Throw it down, Moses. He threw it down, it turned into a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
The people going to believe you now, Moses, when you throw that rod down, it turned into a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Reach down, Moses. Now, this is where me and God had had a long talk.
Yeah, pick it up.
Because I ain't never picked up no snake. And I ain't thinking about doing it tomorrow. But God said, pick it back up, Moses. I'd have said, now, Lord, you're not talking to me, are you?
Yeah.
I think you're talking to Aaron here, my brother.
Yeah.
But Moses reached down, picked the snake up, and it turned back into the rod.
Mm-hmm.
You see, sometimes we go and we say we don't have anything to go with. Billy Graham, you mentioned a while ago, Brother Pinion, stepped off of a farm in North Carolina, just a farm boy.
Mm-hmm.
And God turned the world upside down through that man.
Right.
Preached to millions of people. Probably hundreds of millions. Probably billions.
More people than anybody else in all the world history.
Right.
But it might have been more than all world history put together.
Yes. Mm. But I know that he never dreamed when he took that first step what God would do. Mm-hmm. But you got to take that first step.
Amen.
You got to take that first step. And God says, get in. Come on, we're going to get this job done. Go in this thy might. Oh, wait a minute, God. I know you must be talking to somebody else. I got my radio tuned to the wrong station here somehow.
Mm-hmm.
If we do, Bob, if we go with all that God gives to us and with clean hands and a pure heart, What is God going to do for us?
He's going to give us the victory. He's going to let us be successful in the endeavors that He has directed us to embark upon. And so that's what we have to understand, is that God know more about us. He told Jeremiah, I have a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that plan is to prosper you and bring you into an expected end, you know, a bright future. So the thing about it is that we have to know that the God we serve already knows what He has in store for us. I think one scripture said He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You mean tell me He's already previewed it and then put penmanship to it, wrote it out, then He's finished it and put it where it can be sold?
It says the end.
The end, amen.
Finished.
Finished of it, amen.
Well, I do know it's not easy, because I came from a very sinful family, was saved, and taught Sunday school just as a young person, 18, 19 years old. And God said, I want you to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no farm boy come from Nauvoo, Alabama, between Jasper and Nauvoo, Red Mill, Alabama, and gone out and preached.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You changed that to one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But I changed it the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'll join the military. God ain't going to bother me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get wild like I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
5.5 years later, God said, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I will go. I will go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. How can you, in my shape, how can you be a preacher? God said, you let me do the preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You just be the instrument.
Amen.
And that's what old Gideon there, what did he say, Brother Pinion, in verse 15? He said, Lord, here I am, boy, I'm going to hit the road running.
Well, he said, no, he didn't say that exactly. He said, Why use me? I'm poor. I'm in Manasseh. And we are a small tribe, mm-hmm. and I'm the least in my family. He was giving all kind of excuses.
You got the wrong fella, God.
Yeah.
You must have meant another address there.
Yeah.
No, God's got it on the GPS that never makes any mistake. I went to a wedding one time down in South Alabama, and I used the GPS, and I never found the wedding.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
GPSs can fail, but not God.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh, not God. Amen. Not God. So he said, I can't do it, Lord. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. I just can't do it. But what did God do then? And what was his response to this, Brother Pinion?
In Judges chapter 6, verse 22-4, he said, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites.
Okay. Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got the call from God. Nothing can be much worse than the condition they live in under.
Right.
And God says, come on, I want you to go. No, Lord, not me. Not me. It's my brother or my sister. But it ain't me, O Lord.
Amen. Amen. Send somebody.
And in the name of you, send somebody else.
Yeah.
Not me. Not me. But now, God's perceived that this is real. I mean, this ain't no make-believe stuff here. This is the angel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, I've seen an angel. And what did most times the people believe would happen to them if they saw an angel?
They're getting ready to get out of here.
That's right.
Amen.
Going
to
die.
Amen.
Going to die.
Amen.
So, Lord have mercy. I thought I was bad hiding from them Midianites up there behind the wine press trying to thresh out a little wheat for Mama to make a few biscuits for supper.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've seen an angel, and I know I'm going to be a goner now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm going to be a goner now. Ain't gonna be no way I can live now because I've seen an angel.
Uh-huh.
And that means I'm to the point of dying.
Uh-huh.
Not only do I have all these other troubles, but I'm gonna die. Was Gideon seemingly comforted that he was gonna die, Brother Bob?
Well, you know, he already, like you said, was in that dilemma. They are warring. People are taking everything about him. Then now the angels show up, and the myth was that if you see an angel, you were gonna die and everything. So now, God speak to him, and said the Lord says unto him, "Peace be unto thee."
Well, that's what he needed.
Yeah, he needs some peace.
He needs some peace.
He needs some peace because everything around him seemed to be in a turmoil. And when he seen the angel, it seemed like he, you know, finna check out of here. Now he need to have some calm put in his life. He needs some peace to put in his life. So when he spoke peace to him, he said, "Fear not, thou shalt not die." That right there dispelled the whole myth. If I seen one, yeah. I supposed to die. And he said, no, have some peace. I ain't come to kill you.
Yeah,
you ain't finna die. You're going to have some extension on your life for a few more days and everything to get you some peace. And so it goes on and says, now, after that, Gideon went on and built an altar and unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which means God's peace.
Right.
And see, now, when you got the peace of God, you know, that Bible said the peace of God will give you, it passes all understanding. You know, when you get the peace of God, all your circumstances and situations seem to be moved or erased or not so as important as they used to be. I heard somebody say, we got to stop telling God about our situation and start telling our situation about our God.
Ah, that's good. Those situations can't stand up against God.
Amen. Amen.
And we
we'll cry out to God about our situation more.
You're throwing us a little mind twisting.
But what we got to do is start telling our situation, our God is mighty. Amen. Our God is powerful. Our God is everlasting, the everlasting. He is God. Thou art God. You know, we got to tell our situation that. Amen. Yeah. And it'll give you some peace when you start talking like that.
Have you ever heard, do you remember in the Bible, all 66 books, all those hundreds of chapters, thousands and thousands of verses, do you remember any place where God attempted something and failed? Anyway, the old song that the kids, we used to teach the kids, God can do anything. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail.
Amen.
He can't fail.
Can't fail.
He'll never fail.
Yeah.
So Gideon, if he told you that, that's the way it's going to be. You can drive your post down on that and tie your goat to it.
Amen.
Because it ain't going to fail.
Amen.
That ain't going to give. I was talking to a fellow the other day out at Lowe's, good friend of mine, been a friend a long time, a member of a church, was a friend then that I pastored formerly. And he said, Brother Herschel, I've had to quit work full time and just work part time. And I said, why, Ken? And he said, well, because I've developed a heart problem, and it's a real bad heart problem. And said, my doctor told me, said, now, if the pain comes, said, you sit down until the pain goes away one way or the other. Either you get better or you die.
Mm.
You just sit down.
Yeah.
But he said, I want you to know, I've got peace.
Amen.
Because God's already punched my ticket.
Amen.
And I thought, that's one way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
If your ticket's been punched, if God gave you the ticket, if he paid for it, he paid for the ticket, and he's already punched it,
mm-hmm.
then you're assured of victory.
Amen.
Now, Gideon, you hadn't had no peace when you was up there hiding behind the wine press. You hadn't had no peace when God came to you and told you, look, I'm ready now to relieve y'all from all these bad things. And you sure didn't have no peace, Gideon, when God says, I'm going to use you to do it with. I'm going to use you to do it with. But now, Gideon, you've had your ticket punched. God said it's going to be all right. God said he's going to deliver Israel through you.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, he is. I don't know. I don't imagine Billy Graham. We've mentioned him several times. I don't imagine God said to him, Billy, I'm going to turn the world upside down with you. No, I don't think that was the message he got. I think God said, I want you to go to that little town over yonder in Arkansas or North Carolina or wherever it was, and I want you to go preach the gospel. I want you to go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, in that football stadium, because I was out there myself personally when he came and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And you ain't going to have no eloquent words, and your words are not going to be any bigger or more important than the little preacher down in the country church that has 23 to come on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But you go be faithful. And that's what he did. He went to be faithful.
Amen.
And he had peace. Gideon, you don't know how you're going to be accomplished. I agree with you, Gideon. You don't have a whole lot of qualifications within yourself. But if you take me, if I became a part of it, if I work through you,
amen,
then you'll have peace and your people will have peace. Gideon never dreamed of that. Some little old boy may be listening to me right now, and God's going to call you to preach some of these days. Don't do like Brother Herschel did and run from it, because I didn't think I could.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was possible. And God don't ask me to be a Billy Graham. He just asked me to be a Herschel Owen.
Amen.
And to do the best I can.
Amen. Be faithful.
Be faithful to it, committed to it. So, young man, you be faithful to it, and God will bless you and use you and give you peace and give your family peace.
Amen.
Oh, that we might today turn back to God and have the peace that God is to each of us.